We're joined by Eduardo Lopez. As Eduardo Lopez is co-director and co-producer of the documentary film called Harvest of Empire, based on Juan Gonzalez's book by the same title. It suggests that immigration from Latin America to the United States is a product of U.S. meddling in Latin American affairs for the past 100 years. You could also find more about this film at the website, Harvest of Empire Movie. Eduardo Lopez, I thank you greatly for your time.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, you're from El Salvador, so my sense, correct me if I'm wrong, but my sense is the story about and the situation about unaccompanied children coming to the United States hits home for you.
Absolutely. This is a serious humanitarian situation that I believe we are reacting to in a very negative way. This whole notion of bringing more immigration judges and lawyers in order to deport these children more quickly is quite frankly insane. And I've lived in the United States now for more than 40 years, and this is not the United States that I knew and loved. This is something different. And I'm really quite shocked at how our country and basically the White House, the administration, has reacted to this situation that all of us working in immigration reform saw this coming, not only for the last year, but for the past few years. So it is not a surprise.
Well, tell me about that. Immigration activists saw this coming. Why?
Because the number of unaccompanied minors has been increasing quite steadily. The rate has been basically doubling for the past 3 years. So the warnings have been there. And another factor that I think is really important that I believe has not been spoken about as forcefully as it should have been is that there are many, many thousands of parents or close relatives of these children who have been waiting for immigration reform to be passed. And basically, these are family members who have been separated from these children for years. And as the realization hits that nothing is going to be done on immigration reform, what are these parents supposed to do? Are they supposed to just accept being separated from their children for maybe 3-5 more years because Republicans are basically refusing to even consider immigration reform in the Congress? These are the questions that are very serious. And it really shows the human side of this political football of immigration reform. Republicans look at it as a way to fight the president, but the human cost is tremendous. And so part of the reason that we're seeing these huge increases in these unaccompanied minors coming to the U.S. is because parents are being put in a very desperate situation.
Now, the orders from the Obama administration is that the children should not wait more than 21 days before seeing an immigration judge. Again, this is being criticized by immigrant rights activists. Eduardo, since you're from El Salvador, what do you think it means for, say, a children? Many of these children are from El Salvador. What would it mean for one of these children to be deported back to El Salvador now?
Well, the tragic situation in El Salvador is that the gang violence problem is almost out of control. And so in a very real sense, you are putting children back into very, very dangerous situations. And it's very possible that some of these children will go back and be killed. That is something that happens in three of the, not only El Salvador, but Honduras and Guatemala. These three countries have, I believe they're among the top five murder rates in the world. So the other part of the situation that is not talked about sufficiently is the fact that U.S. foreign policy helped to create the gang violence problem in El Salvador, in Guatemala, and Honduras. It is not a situation that just exists there because the countries are poor or poorly run. It exists because of very definite, very concrete foreign policy decisions that our country made in the past. The reality is that the use of torture and death squads by governments we supported in Central America and soldiers we trained left a terrible legacy of violence in Central America.
And this really gets into the documentary film that you co-produced and co-directed, Harvest of Empire. It's based on Juan Gonzalez's book by the same title, Harvest of Empire, A History of Latinos in America. Of course, you can't really do a film or a whole book into a single film. You really focused on U.S. policy and the history of U.S. policy in the region. So you touched upon it a little bit already, Eduardo, but perhaps flesh this out for me, because you do have folks saying, okay, the gang problem in El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala is a bad thing, but that's their problem. We can't here in the United States be responsible for that. How do you connect the gang violence in El Salvador to the past?
The connection is actually very clear. As I mentioned, the governments that we supported in Central America, and let's speak specifically about El Salvador, these governments, these armies, use torture and death squads on a regular basis. This is what caused the mass migration of Salvadorans to the United States, the use of these extremely violent measures. When people started arriving in Los Angeles, for example, Los Angeles right now is the second largest Salvadoran city in the world. Pretty amazing, because El Salvador is the smallest country in all of the Americas. And there was really no migration from El Salvador to the United States before the war. So that you see that in the census of 1980, you have maybe fewer than 100,000 Salvadorans living in the entire United States. And just 34 years later, we are about to hit 2 million, and we have been officially declared by the census as the third largest Latino population in the United States. We have just passed Cuban Americans. So you see this huge migration occurring as a result of the war, and more importantly, the way the war was fought. And so when you have thousands, hundreds of thousands of Salvadorans arriving in Los Angeles during the 1980s as a result of this civil war and the use of torture and the use of death squads, of course you had huge populations of young people arriving as well. Well, eventually, obviously, so many of these people, they were not given any refugee status. They were considered undocumented, forced to live in very difficult situations. Obviously, crime was going to happen. And so these children, these youth began joining gangs and creating gangs. The now infamous Maras in Los Angeles were basically created by Salvadoran gang members. So the United States, looking at this problem of a new gang population in Los Angeles, decided that the best way to solve this problem was not to deal with the tremendous stress and experience with violence that these kids had had, but the best way was to deport them en masse back to El Salvador, knowing full well that El Salvador really had no working police department, no working judicial system, no resources to give any of these young people jobs. So what we're seeing now is the result of this mass deportation of gang youth from Los Angeles to El Salvador, creating a terrible situation in the country now that is really resulting in these kids fleeing that situation. So our hand, unfortunately, our foreign policy decisions, they're all very directly connected to what we're seeing today. It's not past history, it's living history. When someone says, well, it's not our responsibility, that's completely false. In a very important way, it is our responsibility.
Again, we are in conversation with Eduardo Lopez. He is co-director and co-producer of the documentary film Harvest of Empire. It's a film that's based on Juan Gonzalez's book by the same name. Eduardo Lopez, you talk about this in the documentary film. How significant was the 1986 immigration reform measure then, in which something, you even have a quote of Ronald Reagan in it calling it amnesty, something that you would never hear today?
And he actually said that he believed in amnesty, and he called it amnesty. He said, I believe in amnesty, and he added, even if the persons arrived in the United States without documents. And so today, Ronald Reagan would be considered a liberal, and he may not even get very many votes from the Republican Party because he truly believed that IRCA, the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, was just. Many people now in the Republican Party, they look back and say, oh, that was his worst mistake ever. But he believed it at the time. And IRCA legalized nearly 3 million persons at that time. So it's the largest legalization of undocumented persons in history.
Again, your film, Harvest of Empire, does go back into history, and it looks at El Salvador, looks at Nicaragua, looks at Cuba, and several other countries as well, and the U.S. involvement there. Does this all begin with the United Fruit Company? And what was the United Fruit Company?
U.S. intervention in Latin America doesn't begin with the United Fruit Company. That was just one of the many important factors, one of the many important players in this story. But the film Harvest of Empire really tries to show the rest of our citizens, because very few people in our country, relatively speaking, really know the story of why there is a Latino presence in the United States. Many people just believe that immigrants from Latin America just kind of showed up here. But the reality is that the growing Latino presence in the U.S. is the unintended consequence of our own country's long history of intervention in Latin America. And the United Fruit Company is just one example. From the very beginning of our founding fathers, before the, you know, Latin America had been became independent from Spain, our founding fathers decided that they were looking at annexing not just the United States from east to west, but all, you know, the hemisphere from north to south. And so U.S. intervention had this long view from the very beginning. And so, in fact, our founding fathers, even though all of the great Latin American liberators looked to the United States for inspiration, for democracy, our founding fathers never supported democracy in Latin America. In fact, they were caught selling arms to Spain. And the reason was because we always had an eye on that land. We always had this notion that one day we would, you know, expand the United States there. And that didn't happen, but, you know, all of the business that became huge, sugar, all of, you know, like the United Fruit Company, which is bananas, you don't think of it as a huge business, but these were humongous businesses of their day. There were times when more than half of all U.S. foreign investment was in Latin America. So we have had a huge hand in the running of the countries of Latin America forever. The United Fruit Company is a great example, because this is one of the most powerful companies in the history of Latin America, responsible for replacing governments, for imposing dictators. They owned more than just land, huge tracts of land. They owned railroads. They owned shipping. So this was an extremely powerful company. And to give you an example of how powerful, in 1954, Guatemala had a democratically elected liberal president named Jacobo Arbenz, who felt that he needed land reform in order to bring his people out of poverty. Now, he wasn't going to just take the land, he was going to purchase it. And so he instituted a land reform that said that any unused land would be bought by the government and put to use by farmers. Well, it just happened that the largest owner of unused land in Guatemala was the United Fruit Company. And they did not want to be forced to sell anything or to put that land to work. So they complained to what, you know, today we would find almost incredible. The Secretary of State in 1954 under Eisenhower and the head of the CIA, they were brothers. The Dulles brothers.
The Dulles brothers, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Secretary of State and CIA.
Exactly, if you can imagine. And so they complained to them, and they had been affiliated with the business. They had been, you know, their law firm had represented United Fruit. And they had They decided to immediately begin a campaign against Jacobo Arbenz to portray him as a crazy communist. Now remember, this is the same team that 1 year earlier had taken down Mossadegh in Iran. And that was so successful that they felt that they could easily take out the president in Guatemala. Mm. And they did. You know, they bribed the military takes over the government. But what happened is that action that we instituted to favor one company unleashed a 40-year civil war in Guatemala that, again, left a terrible legacy of violence. More than 200,000 people were murdered. Millions were displaced. The entire migration from Guatemala to the United States was created through this action. So this is, again, how our foreign policy decisions, most often to favor business, has the unintended consequence of creating mass migration.
Eduardo Lopez, your documentary film, Harvest of Empire, goes through all of this history. The film comes during, obviously, in a very important time in the national dialogue concerning immigration. Your film's been, I think, out a couple of years now. What has the reaction from the public been?
Well, when we screened the film, there are basically two kinds of reactions. There's the reaction from the Latino audience, and that reaction is usually very emotional. It's very emotional because even though not all of us really know the story, for example, I'm from El Salvador, and we have shown the film in New York to students who are Puerto Ricanos and Dominicanos, and you would think that their story is so similar, the migration from Puerto Rico and La República Dominicana, that is so similar that they would know each other's stories. But in fact, they don't. And so Mexicans really don't know the migration story of Salvadoreños, and Salvadoreños don't really know the migration story of Nicaraguenses. So first, it's a very emotional reaction for Latinos. And for non-Latinos, what we find most often is a reaction of, I can't believe we did this. Because unfortunately, this very important history is never taught in our school system anywhere. There are some college courses somewhere, but basically most of our citizens here in the U.S. have no access to this information. And that's why we thought it was so important to make this film. Because, you know, like Juan González himself says very often, his anger at looking at this history, because it does make you angry when you see the reality of what occurred. But that anger is really tempered by something he truly believes in that I truly believe. And that is that when the American people know the truth, they rarely let an injustice stand. And we believe, we have great faith in the American people that once they know more about this history, their reaction to immigrants, their opinion on immigration reform will be much more humane and far less punitive than what we're seeing today.
How did you come about making this film? Were you inspired by Juan González's book, Harvest of Empire, or?
When the book came out in 2000, I very much was inspired by his book. I thought it was tremendous because I knew what I thought was a great deal about the history of the U.S. and Latin America, and I found out that I knew almost nothing when I read the book. And it was an incredible eye-opener. But what really inspired us to make the film is our reaction to what was going on when we started this process in 2005. We were listening to mainstream media every night here in the United States talking about immigrants as illegals, as aliens, as anchor babies, with a tremendous lack of respect, but more importantly, with tremendous ignorance. And we just thought it was very, very important for immigrants to tell our own story. Because clearly, our media, our journalists, our pundits, they had no idea of really why there was a growing Latino presence here in the United States. And every conversation, every debate that you heard basically just blamed the immigrant. And when you know even a little bit of the history, you understand very clearly that the immigrant is the least powerful player in this entire situation. And so we have to, if you really want to answer the question, why are there so many Latinos here? You have to really look to U.S. corporations, U.S. presidents, both Democrats and Republicans. For example, the two presidents that would be the most responsible for the Latino presence that we see now would be Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. So it really doesn't...
Why is that? Bill Clinton because of NAFTA?
NAFTA, but it was also the combination of NAFTA, which really devastated millions of Mexican farm workers almost overnight. People who had depended on their small plot of land to survive for decades. And since Mexican produce, Mexican agricultural products were not protected under NAFTA, while U.S. agricultural products were very protected and received heavy subsidies from the government, what happened was that millions of farm workers were left without a way to make a living very suddenly. But then right after NAFTA, a lot of people don't realize President Bill Clinton instituted something called Operation Gatekeeper, where he closed and he militarized and basically closed down the traditional entry points to the United States from Mexico, which were close to the large urban areas. This is the action that forced the migrants to go through the desert. And so what happened then, obviously, not only did you have a terrible increase in the number of people who died crossing, but what happened was at the same time that you had millions of new migrants being forced to come to the United States because of NAFTA, they were realizing that that entry was incredibly dangerous, incredibly difficult. And they basically, by the millions, decided, you know, I am not going to do that again. So the migrants just stayed. They didn't go back and forth like had been the traditional way. They just stayed here. Once they got through that desert, they just stayed. And then obviously they started bringing wives and children little by little. So the multiplication, basically the doubling of the undocumented population between 1994 and 2004 from around 5 million to 10, 11 million, is very much connected to those two actions taken by Bill Clinton, NAFTA and Operation Gatekeeper.
And Reagan?
Well, Ronald Reagan, the way that he decided to fight the wars in Central America, he created a war in Nicaragua against the Sandinistas. The way that they decided to fight the war in El Salvador, and obviously the support that he gave to governments in Guatemala and Honduras, that created this terrible situation in those countries, because basically we were supporting governments that used extreme violence with civilian populations. The result of that could have been very predictable. These civilian populations are going to leave en masse, and that's what happened. So as a result of his policies, whether you agree with, you know, you can say, well, Ronald Reagan saved us from communism, or you can say his policies were really savage. But in the end, in terms of migration, your opinion would be kind of irrelevant because the result of his policies clearly were the mass migration of Latinos coming to the United States.
Eduardo Lopez has been our guest. Eduardo Lopez is co-director and co-producer of the documentary film Harvest of Empire. You can find out more about that film at harvestofempiremovie.com. Eduardo Lopez, our show does air on WPFW in Washington, D.C. You told me earlier that you have a viewing coming up in the next couple of months.
Yes, we're going to be screened at the Smithsonian Institution in the first week of October. So we're very much looking forward to that.
Okay, first week of October in Washington, D.C. Eduardo Lopez, I thank you greatly.
Oh, thank you so much.